Hi, welcome to Greek Tragedy. It's psychology without the science, so it's philosophy. I'm Ava, your host, a college student, and today I have a very, very special guest. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. My name is Chantal. I am a student at Brown University. I play basketball there if you guys want to check me out sometimes. But anyways, I study history and Slavic studies. I'm in no way a philosopher, but I do have some very strong opinions.
I feel like none of us are really all philosophers. Even the philosophers that call themselves philosophers, I feel like we're just all...
It's all subjective.
Honestly, yeah. Because who's to say one person's philosophy is valid, one person's philosophy isn't valid, and that goes into a whole other ordeal.
Well, you know me. I'm more into psychology than philosophy, but that's why I'm here, aren't I?
Yeah, you're here to bring a little bit of a psych twist. Because I would not be able to do that since I'm not a STEM person. However, I did get an A in anthropology, so it's my flex for the year. So today we're going to be talking about this man named Osho. And what's interesting is that when I was researching him, I got a lot of, like, mixed feed. I was like, some people were saying, oh, he is a philosopher. Oh, he's not. He's just, like, this cult leader. And then I was like, why is he a cult leader? So it's, like, very opinionated. But he's a philosopher from India. He's a very respected writer and has taught Chantal a lot about love and has taught me a lot about love. And he was the leader of this movement called the Rajneesh Movement. I hope I'm saying that right. And that movement was basically supporting more progressive ordeals and supported the advancement of science, sexual liberation, non-conventional partnerships, euthanasia, genetic engineering, universal love, and all these more progressive, you know, walks of life, especially when he was around, which was like, I feel like 50-ish years ago, that was kind of like, oh, no, we are going to stick to our traditionalist things. Mm-hmm. Especially the fact that he was talking about genetic engineering, like that far behind, is crazy because I didn't even know they were talking about that.
Like the 70s.
Yeah, but I guess like Aldous Huxley, he wrote a book about that, Brave New World. So it's just interesting. And euthanasia, which is another topic that...
Very controversial.
Very controversial, which I don't know how I feel about that. Can't tell you that. And of course, I love the fact that he supports sexual liberation. Their movement also practiced meditation, and it was kind of derived from like Buddhist teachings too. And as I said, it was... not really respected by the US, India, and the USSR because it was like resenting traditional morality and traditional moral values. And then at one point, it was actually prohibited to practice this movement in the USSR, which is funny because me and Chantal are both
Russian.
Yep. And it was banned because, and I quote, positive aspects of Indian culture and to the aims of the youth protest movement in Western countries. So, Osho, we have this guy, kind of controversial, but he did teach us a lot about love. The first thing I wanted to go into was read a few quotes that I found from Osho from a few books. This was originally going to be on, like, being in love. But then I started to read about him, and I was like, you know what? This guy, he has, like, a few edges to himself within his whole entire readings. And the first quote that I found that I want to discuss is, love needs immense consciousness. Love is a meeting of two souls, and lust is the meeting of two bodies. Lust is animal, love is divine. But unless you know what you are, that you are a soul, you cannot understand what love is. And this is from The Razor's Edge, a book written by Osho in the 70s. But I don't know. What do you think about that, Chantal?
Well, I mean, he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of hard to say because nowadays, do we even know what love is? Like, we're not. It's like for me, I have a very pessimistic view on love. It's kind of hard to be optimistic nowadays mm-hmm. with like the hookup culture and everything that's going on like in our generation. But I mean, everybody is just so filled with lust. Everybody's so animalistic about it. And with love, it's kind of like, I don't think we're divine enough to understand what it really is. And I think that's what he's talking about in that quote.
I always hear older people, even friends of mine, shout out to Jack, this is for you. He's like, you know what? You don't know what love is right now. Like, you're never going to know.
And nobody
like,
does.
Nobody does. But then I get, like, kind of confused because I'm like, no, but, like, I love my boyfriend. And, like, I really do love him because I feel, like, this immense, unexplainable feeling. And I'm sure you know what it is from, like, your past relationships, maybe the one that you're in right now, is it's like, I feel like I know what it is, but then I have Osho saying...
We have our own interpretations of it.
Osho
does a really good job explaining in his book, the one that we're referencing, Being in Love. He does a really good job of explaining that, like, we all perceive it differently. Mm-hmm. It's kind of our own definition of it, but there's, like, is it really love, or is it just to fulfill our egos, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
That's why I'm kind of pessimistic about it.
I try to view love with like rose-colored glasses most times and carry optimism just because this world is so negative, especially right now. It's so, you know, I feel like everybody's like shitting on each other and stuff, and I feel like with his whole entire philosophy of like universal love, that kind of makes me feel more secure with my rose-colored glasses, because I'm like, well, maybe there is, like, a universal thing that we can interpret as love. But then again, love is so... It varies by each person. Like, my definition of love could mean, you know, my boyfriend giving me flowers or chocolate, and then your definition...
Don't you think that's a little superficial, though?
I honestly, I couldn't tell you that, because here's the thing with that, too, is the fact that I feel like those are actions of love, and it's like if you are going to those extents to, you know, give them flowers, buy them coffee, that can relate to love too.
That's really interesting that you say that, because in Osho's book, he talks about the three types of love, which I'll talk about later. But, you know, I think one part of being in love is realizing that it's like you don't need to show it. You don't have to go prove your love. Mm-hmm. You have to have an understanding within each other that you love each other.
Which is also interesting, I feel like, for us too, because since we were raised by these Russian moms, my mom would always be like, oh, you see, my chick, like, doesn't do enough, then, like, he's not worthy for, like, my daughter's love.
I love how you started talking in Russian.
Yeah, that means, like, if the boy doesn't. But then I'm, like, I talked to my mom, and I'm, like, I feel like a boy doesn't need to prove anything through items. Like, you can still obtain love for somebody without, you know, buying them a diamond ring or buying them, you know, chocolate or whatever.
It's not just Russians though. I think it's everybody. Everybody has this idea like he needs to go out of his way and show his love to me. He needs to buy me this, this, and that.
Mm-hmm.
I need a matching necklace with him for Christmas so that he can really prove his love.
Literally, I'm wearing mine right now. Yeah, and I think what Osho says that is super great in this quote is love is the meeting of two souls and lust is the meeting of two bodies. Which basically means lust is, like, the sexual component of that.
Mm-hmm.
And love is, like, that energy, that feeling, if you will, between you two. And he says lust is animal and love is divine, which is interesting because, again, with 2020 and 2021, with this century, a lot of people, you know, go out and do hookup culture. I've never done that. I will, like, that's great if you do. Respect to you. But it's interesting because I feel like those exact type of people who are searching for that love are doing the exact thing that Osho is telling them not to do, which is...
Well, he's not telling you don't partake in lust. He's just saying that there's a difference and you need to recognize that difference. And some people confuse lust with love. They think, oh my God, this guy is so attractive. Like, I need to be with him. But really, it's just the physical attraction. You don't actually love this person. And that's what he's saying. Like, you need to know the difference.
Exactly. And with that, too, it's like you make these visions of like the person that you want to be with. You're like, oh, I can't wait for us to do this and that and this and that and that and this. Like, I'm not gonna lie, that was pretty much me all my whole entire life. I was like, oh my God, this guy I'm talking to, perfect. Mwah, chef's kiss. I cannot wait to travel with him. I can't wait to...
you're thinking about the future and you're not even like, Osho is really big on like living in the present and being there in the present and just enjoying the moment that you're at right now.
Which is what I think a lot of people get wrong is the fact that people are like making these mental images of the person they want them to be.
Yeah.
Rather than just being present. And you know what? If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't, you guys are not meant to be each other.
Exactly.
Another thing, or another quote, I should say, I thought was super, super interesting is, one can be deep in deep love and yet be alone. In fact, one can be alone only when one is in deep love. The depth of love creates an ocean around you, a deep ocean, and you become an island utterly alone. And this is from his book, The Dhammapada, The Way of Buddha. What do you think of that? You can be alone and be in love.
That is really interesting. I think, I know I did this. I'm guilty of this, but some people try to force themselves into relationships and try to force themselves to be in love just to, like, fill a void. But if you're not truly happy with yourself, I mean, people say this all the time. Self-love is the best love. Like, you need to love yourself first before you can love someone else. Mm-hmm. You can be so utterly alone and then just think that you're in love with somebody else, but I mean, that's not really the case. It's not really true deep love. You won't really enjoy that relationship unless you're happy with yourself.
Yeah. I think here's the thing. I agree with this, but yes, I disagree with that because I have trouble being in love with myself. As silly as that sounds, I feel like I'm like myself's biggest critic, especially with music and everything. I'm like, ugh, Ava, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And I just keep on, like, critiquing until there's nothing left to critique. And it's just, like, it's confusing for me. It's like, do I have to be in love with myself, but then also share my love with somebody else? And it creates this, like, weird barrier thing, I guess. But now that I read it again, I'm like, you know what? No, I think one of the ways that I did find the person that I'm with right now is the fact that I started to really appreciate the things that I was doing and I was starting to realize, hey, I'm not so bad after all. Like, I'm in college, I'm doing my own shebang, I'm doing music, and you know, I'm working hard. And only then I feel like that's when I really felt the love, if you will.
Well, I mean, it's a really common problem. A lot of people struggle with loving themselves first before they can love somebody else, but I think they find that external validation, and I think it's really important to, you know, find that love within yourself first. People search for that external validation to make themselves feel better, and then they completely forget about their own self-worth, their own opinions of themselves. They think about other people's opinions of themselves. That's what Osho's saying. Like, you can be so deep in love, but you're alone.
Exactly.
You need to be happy with yourself.
And going back to the validation thing, I used to have a friend who would validate herself through other people's opinions.
I mean, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, and like, I have never been one to do that because I feel like since I value my critique way more than the average person, I want to validate myself, and the way I'm going to do that is through the actions and like the presence and how I'm approaching the future. Cool. So it was just interesting. And another thing he said, which was very interesting, of course, by Osho, is if there is passion in love, then love will become hell. If there is an attachment in love, then love will be a prison. And I cannot agree more with that because, you know, when you put, like, everything into this one relationship, if you put everything into loving this one thing, it becomes chaotic and you get like OD about it because you keep on checking on it. And that's when it becomes like a living hell because you're like, oh, crap. Like, what do I do next? And you obsess over it.
No, like with that quote, I know exactly what he's talking about because I was previously in a very toxic relationship where the other person, he was very, very attached to me, but in a very bad way. It wasn't love anymore. It all became so possessive. And he wasn't just checking on me to make sure, like, oh, like, hey, are you okay? He was checking on me to make sure that he wouldn't lose me, even though there wasn't a chance of that at the time. But it literally, the relationship became work. It became a hell. Like he said, there wasn't really love. It was just attachment. It was just possessiveness.
Which, if you think about it, is pretty selfish, too. Because then you're kind of restraining the other person.
Yeah.
And it's... That's when it becomes hellish. If there's attachment in love, then love will become a prison. Which is kind of like what you were saying. Is yes. that you're basically handcuffed to this person. You want to, like, let go, but you can't because... You're just, like, so attached, and yeah. you have nowhere else to go. Like, you can't move forward with your life. You can't progress in your life because your whole entire life depends on this one person.
Yeah. And Osho talks a lot in his book, Being Love, like, about freedom, about recognizing each other's freedom. You can't be truly happy unless you give each other the space you need and recognize mm-hmm. each own's individuality, each own's life, you know? Mm-hmm. You have to let the other person be free.
Which is interesting because now, since we have social media, we can, like, check on where people are in Snapchat. We can you see what they're doing in like on social media, whatever. And at the time when Osho was writing all these books, like, obviously social media didn't exist, so he in a sense was kind of predicting the future, because now since people are like checking up on their significant other, obsessing over where they are, obsessing what they're doing, even not even their significant other, even like random boys on Instagram, it's become this obsession.
Yeah.
So love has been so unattainable, especially in this century, because people are just obsessed with this vision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Without further ado, I'm going to let Chantal explain the three ways to find love, or the three ways of definition of love.
Okay. Take it away. So, in his book, towards the end, he closes all of his speaking with defining the three types of love. And it's kind of like a hierarchy. There's love one, love two, and love three. And I thought it was really interesting what he was saying. So the first love, love one, it's really object oriented. It's kind of superficial. So basically, if you see a beautiful woman walking down the street, you think, oh my gosh, this woman is so beautiful. I must have her. I'm in love. That is very clearly superficial. Because somebody is beautiful, you think you're falling in love.
So it's love at first sight.
Kind of, mm-hmm. yeah. But the problem with that is... You're not the only person that thinks she's beautiful. There's many other people that also think she's beautiful. And with that, it comes there comes jealousy, there comes competition, and there is a fear that you're going to lose her. So then you get very possessive. You start thinking, my wife, my husband. It's very lustful. It's a very lustful love. And it's the base layer. Like, it's not necessarily the worst. It's better to love, have this type of love than no love at all, which he talks about. But it's going to make you very unhappy. It's going to make both parties very unhappy. Mm-hmm. It's very possessive. You won't let the other person be free. And then you're always scared. You're always scared you're going to lose her. So the next type of love, love two, it's a subject type of love. So the first one was object. The second one is subject. And it's loving is basically who you are as a person. It is a quality that you have. So you start bestowing that love upon other people. And it's not object-oriented like the first one. Like I said, it's subjective. And Osho says it's a lot more joyful than the first type of love. It is not possessive, and you have respect for the other person in the relationship. So let's go back to that beautiful woman example. You have the most beautiful woman. You are dating her, you're married to her, whatever. And in this type of love, you can recognize and acknowledge the fact that others want her too. Others also think she's beautiful. But instead of getting jealous, instead of getting competitive and creating like these boundaries and having this fear, like the first type of love, you'll just appreciate that the woman that you are with is the most beautiful and many others love her too. And that is okay. You are okay with that because you are a loving person. It is more friendship than lust. So the first one was lust. This is a friendship. This is like a partnership, you know? And this love is a lot purer than the first type of love. So then we go to the third type of love, which is neither objective or subjective, like the first two. It is just totally different, and it's really hard to obtain, especially nowadays. He says, and I quote, love is transcendence. It is all division is disappeared, and it's just simply love. And I mean, personally, I'd like to argue that this type of love is really, really hard to achieve. And I don't think humans can ever really achieve this love because it's too divine. Osho kind of references when Jesus says God is love, because it's that simple. Like, God isn't subjective or objective. Love is not like an act, it's just a being, it's a state of being, and it's just so pure. One is simply to love. So an example in the second type of love, it's you are the lover, but like I said, all the definitions disappear in this third type of love. So in the first, just to recap, there's a lot of misery and people are upset because
of obsession.
Yeah, because of obsession, it's superficial. You don't really experience love. It's more so just to fulfill your ego. And the misery, it's close by and you see it. And the second one, it's a lot better than the first one, no doubt about it. But there's still some sort of misery. It's not as close by. It's farther away. It's harder to see because you and the other person, you're still not one being. But in the third, it's just way above. There's no misery. It's just perfect, pure bliss, divine, godlike. And Osho says, like, in order to achieve this third type of love, you have to go through the first, then the second, and then up to the third. You can go on loving because you are simply love. That is what the third one is. You are the love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of the three stages. I think it's very hard to achieve the third love. That is the goal, though, whenever you're in a relationship or even just loving somebody else. Like, you can love somebody as a friend. You can love somebody as a sister, a boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. But the goal is the third type of love, when you're just, you're not trying to love somebody, but it's just happens. Love.
Yeah. See, I feel like it'd be subjective if I'm like, oh yeah, I have the third love, but honestly, I feel like I kind of do in a sense, because at that time I had broken up with like my ex. That was a whole other ordeal. And yeah. I was just like vibing. I was just like chilling, vibing, and it just happened. And I was like, wait, this guy's like pretty dope, I'm not gonna cap, like, he's pretty cool, he does music, he's super cute, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it kind of just happened like that, but at the same time I get where you're coming from, because it's like, I feel like we're not even capable of that, because there's always going to be some subjectivity and some objectivity.
I think if you say that you have the third type of love, you're comparing yourself to God, because Osho literally said Jesus is showing what the third type of love is when he says God is love. That's why I think it is literally impossible to reach that third type of love unless you literally throw everything away, like you throw your entire life away and just appreciate life and love. Like, us humans, we're terrible people, we have such high egos. That's why I'm so pessimistic about it. Like, love, this purest form of love,
mm-hmm.
for the third form that he says that is the goal,
mm-hmm.
it is so, it's too pure for us. Like, we are selfish beings, like, we want love to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
And that is not what the third type is about.
No, I, you know, I get that, because I feel like I just want to be appreciated.
I just want to be appreciated.
You know that TikTok? Yeah. Like, and I feel like that's just human nature, because for so long we've been in wars, for so long we've had, like, beef with everybody, and now with cancel culture, too.
Yeah.
It's so hard to, like...
It is so hard to love another person.
Yeah.
And
exactly. Like, love anybody, because everything is, like, made to, you know, destruct, whatever. But I definitely see, like, where Osho's coming from with his three loves. I'm happy to say that do not have the first one.
Yes, I can tell you right now, and from what I've seen with you in your current relationship, you definitely are not in the first type, which is very good.
I know. I think messed up. Yeah. I don't know how, but...
But, like, yeah. I can't help but wonder, like, if Osho was still alive today, I really just want to ask him, like, do you think it's possible? Like, does he think it's possible for humans, especially nowadays,
mm-hmm.
to experience this third type of love? Is it achievable? Because he says that's the goal, but it seems like it's a very far reach, like,
thing.
It's not obtainable.
I think I would argue that it could have been obtainable, like, years ago, before this, like, new rise of social media. But I feel like now, like, technological advancements, it's so hard to cherish moments, because now you have, like, Snapchat memories that you can go back and, like, see, and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna cherish this, I'll, like, remember this later. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we've been set against that, and everything in our power against.
I feel like the fact that we're using social media and, like, our current state of being like our current mm-hmm. technology and all that as an excuse not to be able to reach a third type of love just shows that yeah. like we are not good enough people to experience no, that.
No, exactly. What I want to also say, and I kind of found this through the Rich Need Movement, I think that's what it's called, but also Osho's teachings on like his website. Here's some lessons that I feel like we should all learn from Osho. Be responsible for your own happiness, peace, and freedom.
True.
Like, you should be the person who's, like, conducting your life. Exactly. And a lot of people say, oh, yeah, that's easy, that's what I'm doing. But they fail to dismiss the thousands of people, or not thousands, but hundreds of people who are controlling them on the daily to make the decisions that they do.
I think it's more so just, like, be in charge of your own destiny. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody knows that.
Yeah. Quote. And be, like, less dependent on validation from others. Less
dependent on others.
Yeah, no, exactly. And my question is, like, why should you depend on others? Like, I guess, like, maybe your mom and, like, your family. But you can control your decisions, your circumstances, and you should not give them the remote control of your life.
Exactly.
So
I 100% agree with that.
Which also leads into, oh, actually, no, I want to say, if our loved ones do start controlling our lives, we try to control theirs. Because now it gets in power
play.
That's
toxic.
Which is toxic, which is what Osho is arguing against. But that's what the lesson that I think I've learned from Osho the most. Love and respect yourself first. Which means, of course, if we validate ourselves, we don't seek it from others. If we get validation from others, it's great. But even if we don't get it, we are still happy because we love ourselves.
Everybody loves to say that. Love yourself before you can love someone else.
Justin Bieber freaking wrote a song about it.
I know. Everybody says that, but are we really practicing it?
We're not practicing it. And I don't think we are, because social media has made our egos big yet tiny at the same time.
Yeah.
We're so insecure. Like, I swear.
We get that dopamine rush when we get a like.
Oh my god, we get the
I'm guilty of it too.
Of course. I'm like, oh my god, people are liking my photos. People are streaming my song. I must be freaking awesome. You know what I mean? But that works against you once you get hate comments or people who don't like you, because then you get super, super insecure.
Yeah.
And I think that the people with the biggest egos are actually the most insecure.
Oh, that's so true.
It's so true. Because if you have a big ego, then you're trying to prove yourself to all these people constantly.
And that's a competition. You're creating that boundary and making everything in life a competition.
Mm-hmm.
You are not living life to the fullest. You won't be able to mm-hmm. love yourself. You won't even be able to love others because you care so much about that competition that you're creating.
And the worst part is, you can't even win the competition, because the competition is against yourself.
You'll never win.
Exactly. But you don't realize that in the moment. So when you get this whole entire, you know, dopamine rush, this whole entire feeling of euphoria, you're like, oh yeah, woohoo. And then somebody, you know, comments something hateful, or somebody, you know, says something behind your back. You're like, oh, well, I need to prove myself now. Like, I need to go against them. But you're not going against them because they don't care. They could care so much less about you.
Yeah.
It's you're battling yourself in this, like, boxing ring, and you're, like, punching yourself. But you're never going to win.
You're never going to win.
Because the bruises will keep coming. Another thing he said is happiness, or a lesson, I should say, that Osho taught me, is happiness should be a natural state of your being.
It's so hard to be happy nowadays.
And see, this is where I disagree with him, is I think this is the most controversial one, because I've read Man's Search for Meaning, which is a life-changing book. If you guys...
Next episode. Man's Search for Meaning.
Oh my god. I quote that book so much, and it's probably, like, my favorite reading, just because it's an easy, you know, run through, whatever. But I disagree with this. I don't think you can just be happy in your natural state. I think there are circumstances that affect you on the daily. I know I've been through a lot this 2020, or past 2020, now 2021, still going through a lot. Just went through something this morning.
Everybody went through something.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, you can't control, and you can't, like, manipulate happiness. It's not tangible. You can't just say, oh.
I think with that lesson that you're trying to learn from Osho, he is saying it's natural to have different emotions, be sad, be mad, be angry, be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay to feel emotions.
Mm-hmm.
You don't always have to force yourself to be happy. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying.
Yeah. Sometimes it just, like, kind of throws me off when he's like, happiness should be a natural state of your being. And it's like, oh, Joe, no, I've read my search for meaning.
Your being conscious of your emotions should be a natural state of your being. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Being not necessarily okay happiness. With your emotions. Yeah. Because it's impossible to be happy 24/7. I bet you $100. That, because that's a lot for me, but that Osho was not happy every single day of his life.
And just Osho pulling up to, like, his practice, and he's like, you know what, guys? I'm having a bad day.
I'm having a really bad day, guys.
Yeah, guys, not gonna lie, it's been pretty hard. And the last one is forgive, forget, and let go.
I agree with the forgive. I agree with the let go. I do not agree with the forget, because I've Thank been you. Living by the saying... Yeah, you can forgive, but you can't forget. You can't really move on with your life until you forgive. Mm-hmm. You'll be dwelling on the past. You'll just be, like, living every day, like, oh, I'm so mad. Like, exactly. I don't forgive this person for what they did to me. You have to forgive. Like, don't forget, obviously, because then you're going to make the same mistake of, like, trusting them if they broke your trust or something, for example. But you have to let go so you can move on, move forward.
100%. I feel like a lot of times, I don't know if you see this on, like, Instagram, those like little like posts with it's like usually like light pink and those like quotes are like forget it all like let go, and I'm like, dude, it's not that simple. It's pretty freaking simple. Hard it's really
easier
hard
easier said than done,
especially with social media. You can keep track of everything what everyone said because of like DMs, because of like saving stuff in Snapchat. Like, it's so hard to forget. And
I think this kind of ties into cancel culture. Everybody's so set on canceling another person, and they will not forgive the other person. And that's why everybody's so angry all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Everybody goes out of their way to ruin another person's life with cancel culture. And that's why everybody just has problems.
Exactly.
Forgive, don't forget, hold them accountable, but just forgive and don't try to cancel them. Like, just get and over
them,
it, bro.
Let them grow, because people... Here's the thing.
People can grow.
People can grow. And as soon as you cancel somebody for not being educated, but it's like, we all were raised under different circumstances. You know, some people were raised in a more progressive house, and some people were raised in a more, like, Republican house. And our values are different. But once you go to college, you can start getting educated, and people will educate themselves and start, you know, having more... progressivism. So
progressive thought.
Yeah, exactly.
They're starting to become more aware of their surroundings and what life is really like, because everybody grows up sheltered, everybody grows up in their own bubble, and then once they, you know, get older and start seeing life in a different view, then they can start realizing that, like, it's time to pop that bubble. They can grow, 100%. Become a different person, learn new lessons.
What's interesting, too, is I feel like this is also kind of related to what I talked about last podcast about Nietzsche. And he's like, we have to utilize the paths of distance. Like, those two groups can never talk to each other. And now I'm, like, listening to this forget whole entire interpretation or excerpt. And it's just like, well, if you want progress, you're not going to be able to forget it. But let them grow and let them be educated and let them interpret their ideas and... whatever, not just like create this barricade that it's like, no, you're blah blah blah, so I can't talk to you. So that's how we're gonna make progress, is we're gonna actually communicate, because one, has communication not resulted in progress? Again, you can't tell me one time it hasn't, because it always does.
Communication is key,
literally, in all walks of life. And what I also wanted to mention is he's kind of saying, let go of negativity, people and thoughts, forgive yourself too. Which I think is also a big one, because I'm, again, a self-critic, and I can't at all withstand forgiving myself. Like, I'm always like, oh, but you
People
did this.
A lot of time forget to forgive themselves. Mm-hmm. That was the biggest lesson I learned in 2020. Like, I have to be kinder to myself. I have to forgive myself. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't be so hard on myself, because we are all our own worst critics.
Exactly,
And then this lesson ties into every single other lesson. They all tie together. You have to forgive yourself. You have to love yourself before you can love somebody else. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to... appreciate all the emotions you have, and then just be conscious of your being and emotions, and be okay with yourself before you can get into a relationship and appreciate another person. Mm-hmm. And then it's just all like a hierarchy. Like, it all just ties in.
Yeah, no, it's just like what he's trying to say, basically, with what you just said, is stop feeling guilty of mistakes you have made, learn from them, and move on. It's not the end of the world. But cancel culture makes that so hard because people are like trying to cancel this person, trying to cancel this person. But I feel like that honestly just stems from their insecurity because they're insecure that they'll never be like
at their clearly point. Haven't been reading Osho like we have.
Of course, period.
Everybody go read some of Osho's books and get enlightened.
Exactly, yeah. Well, that is it for today. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Greek Tragedy. Again, special thank you to Chantal for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
And yeah, I'll see you guys next week. Be sure to follow us both on Instagram if you like to plug it.
Chantal Mawad. I'm sure Ava will put it somewhere.
Yeah, and mine is at Vaughn Winook.
Thanks.
Which is subject to change soon. Have a great rest of your day, and thank you.
Bye.